Today's daf is Brachas daf Nun Aleph. We're going to pick it up from actually the bottom. We really hit the top of Nun Aleph yesterday, but let's pick it up from the two dots. That's really where this Gemara starts, at the bottom of Nun Amud Beis. So like Gemara, Tana Rabban. No, sorry, Amar Yehuda. If one forgot and accidentally put some food into his mouth without making a bracha, he moves the food over to the side of his mouth and he makes a bracha. So Rav Yehuda Amar says that a person who started eating food without making a bracha moves the food to the side and makes a bracha. The Gemara now quotes three brises that give different rulings in this matter. Tanya Chada Boilan, if he put food in his mouth without making a bracha, he should swallow it. Tanya Yidach, another brise says, Poltan, he should spit it out. Tanya Yidach, Masalkan, he should move to the side of his mouth. The third brise is what Rav Yehuda said, which is move the food to the side of the mouth and make a bracha. But the first two brises give different options. One is to spit out the food, and one is to swallow the food. Which is the right ruling? What's going on over here? Like Kasha, there's no machlekes in any of these brises. It's all different scenarios. Hadatanya Bailan, the brise says you swallow it, but Mashkin is talking about liquids. You can't spit out liquids. You spit it out, it's toast. You're not going to be able to use it again. So that's talking about liquids. So there you swallow it. Meaning, even though they're, of course, supposed to be making a bracha, if you missed a bracha, we don't ruin the food because of the lack, the missing of the bracha. So Hadatanya Bailan, Mashkin is talking about Mashkin. Hadatanya Pelton, this that we said that he does spit it out. The bemid lemais is something which you can spit out and then re-swallow. It won't become mais, won't become repulsive. And therefore, that's an option. Spit it out to make a proper bracha, then take it back in. And the last case, Hatanya Salkan, bemid lemais is something which will become mais. But unlike liquids, we didn't give the option of moving to the side of your mouth and making a bracha, because when you open your mouth to the liquid, you know what's happening. The liquid's going to fall out. It's not going to work. So by a liquid, the only option is to swallow it. By a solid that becomes mais, move it to the side of the mouth and make the bracha. And by a salad that does not become ma'as, then the eight says to spit it out, make a bracha properly, and then re-swallow it. Why, if there's an option to put it to the side of your mouth, even a salad that does not become ma'as, why not just put it to the side of your mouth and make a bracha? Why do you have to spit it out b'chlal? Says more, mitle ma'as vami, l'salkinu, top of nunav b'nav, things that don't become ma'as also, l'salkinu l'tzad echad l'varach, why not just move it to the side of the mouth and make a bracha? Says more, tegmar, bitzu, kaska, kamei der b'yesi, bar oven, mishmei der b'yechanan, mishim shenemar, yimolei pi, my mouth should be filled with your praise. You want to have a full mouth just with praise, not with any food inside it, and therefore the chatchil is always to make a bracha with an empty mouth. In a case where the guy accidentally ate something, and now he has food in his mouth, and he hadn't made a bracha yet, so over there we have to decide what the best option is, and if the best option is to move it to the side and make a bracha, he can still do that, because if it's going to come mice and destroy the food, ruin the food, better to make a bracha with an inside your mouth than to make a bracha with an empty mouth. But when you have that option to make a bracha with an empty mouth, that's certainly optimal, and therefore if you can spit the food out and still take it back in and won't become disgusting, that's what you should do, and make a bracha with an empty mouth. Now just two quick points, really not on this most recent Gemara, the Gemara from yesterday. We discussed at the end of the daf yesterday, we discussed that there's a difference between bread and other foods. When it comes to throwing bread or throwing other foods, we said that for other foods, the issue to throw it is only if it'll be destroyed. If it gets ruined, if it gets mites, then you can't throw the other foods. Bread, we said, as a separate issue, even if it's not getting ruined, throwing bread is a lack of covet, is a problem with throwing bread itself, even when it won't be destroyed. There's two important points from Rabbi Yashim. One of them we touched on, one of them we didn't. First, Rabbi Yashim points out that pasah baba kisnin. We discussed throwing peklach by an afif, right? Throwing peklach with a chassan or by a mitzvah boy, you throw peklach. So we said it has to be usually they're wrapped in bags. The candies sometimes are wrapped themselves, but even if not, they're wrapped in these bags and they're pretty tight. And as long as the food doesn't get destroyed, not a problem, because again, it's not bread. But they asked Rabbi Yashim, what about pasah baba kisnin? Pasah baba kisnin, let's say pretzels or cookies. If you put that in the bags, that is something which, if you go with the idea that pas, we know pas, the halacha is you can't throw it, even if it's not getting destroyed. What is pas b'kisim? And he said, l'chari, yes. Pas b'kisim would have the same concern as pas. So in these peklach, even if the dear mother of the bar mitzvah boy of the chassan wants to kind of soften it up with some cookie-like, I mean, I'm not sure how soft cookies are, but something softer than just hard rock candies, they cannot put pas b'kisim, because even when covered, and even when protected, and even not being destroyed, Rabbi Asher felt the pas b'kisim would still be a problem to throw. We don't throw it. Number one. Number two, he spoke yesterday, a few people brought it up in the shir, about throwing bread, that a few people brought up for that as the meaning of svardim, to throw bread. After you cut the challah, they throw the amitzi out to the different people. So we spoke to Rabbi Akshlita, and he mentioned that although Rabbi Aks senior was very against it, he used to be very against the minig, Lamaisi did find makaris for it, and he was more lenient that perhaps throwing bread from across a room or from place to place is a problem, but within one table is not really considered throwing so much. It's instead of passing, we know actually passing hand to hand is a little bit of a siman of anias, so we don't like to pass it hand to hand the bread. So other options would be to just to put it down and have people put it down instead of handing it hand-to-hand. But in order to avoid that, throwing it's another option, and therefore, as long as it's on the same table, perhaps, you want to say that would be a reason why it wouldn't have the concern of our Gemara. L'maisa, the minhag is brought, the Ksav Sefer brings, obviously it's not just a Sfaradi thing, the Ksav Sefer brings that his father used to do it. The Ksav Sefer used to throw bread. He doesn't say why, he doesn't say what the source is, but Ksav Sefer used to throw the bread, and that's why it's not just found by Sfaradim, it's found also many non-Sfaradic homes where people cut a maizi and throw bread. Rabbi Yashiv explained that perhaps the maila, maybe it's not a steer to what Rav Akiva was saying about being on the same table, that doesn't have a status of throwing, but another benefit is that when you're cutting bread, we know we're always busy in the prior parakim about hefsik. The amount of time it takes to break bread and then give it to the people, and there's hefsik involved, could be throwing it speeds up the process, and therefore takes away the issue of hefsik. So for that purpose, since it's tzairich for the food and for the bracha to be accomplished faster, could be for that reason, throwing was a maila as well. Okay, that's the idea of Rashi, but again, the main point that I was bringing up from there is really that the Chassam Sefer said that the Chassam Sefer had this minig to throw the bread. Okay, back at Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, right at the top of the page. Back at this topic, someone starts eating without a bracha. A person who ate and drank and didn't make a bracha. Could he go back and make a bracha now? Amarlu. So the Rashi's simple way of reading this Gemara, the way Rashi reads it with the version we have in Rashi with this Gemara's answer. The question really is: could you go back and make a bracha after eating? He didn't make a bracha. He ate. He drank. Could he make a bracha after? It's post eating instead of pre eating. Amar lehu, and the response was Mishach Hashem Rechanoidev. Person who ate garlic and has bad breath. Yachzavirch Hashem Achar Kadeshi Rechanoidev. Should he go eat more garlic and have worse breath? Should he double down and make more bad breath? Meaning he ate without a bracha. Terrible mistake happened. Terrible. Make a bracha now after he finished eating is another mistake. It's a bracha levatala. That's how the simple reading of Rashi is this Gemara. At the Gemara's answer is eating garlic after eating garlic is doubly smelly. So making a bracha after not making a bracha, but we're not eating anymore, so it's a bracha levatala, is doubly a problem. You ate without a bracha, now you make a bracha without eating, both bad things, and therefore one should not do that. That is the simple reading of Rashi. The problem is, if you look at the next verse of the Gemara, Ravina wants to take out of this exact Gemara's answer that even if a person finishes the meal, you could make a bracha after you eat the meal, which is exactly opposite the way Rashi's understanding, the way our version of Rashi, I'm saying that on purpose, our version of Rashi is understanding this Gemara. Look at, we'll start reading the next few words. Am Ravina Hilga Chafila Gamar Stasa Yachziv Varech. Therefore, even if a person finished his Suda, he can go make a bracha. Ravina is going to bring another aid to his idea, first based on this answer that was given for Rav Chisda, and second based on the din by going to the mikvah. But the point is, what Ravina is taking out of it is exactly opposite the way we're understanding from Rashi. Therefore, Marsha says, it cannot be, there must be a toyus in these words of Rashi. So that's what I'm saying, our version of Rashi. See, there's a toyus. Not that Rashi made a toyus, it's so obvious, it's not Rashi made a toyus, there's a toyus in the words that we have Rashi. It can't be Rashi says, that can't be Rashi meant. Rather, Marsha means a whole different explanation of this Gemara. Very geshmak achab. Says the Marsha, we're talking with the guys eating further. The guy is, of course, eating more. He is eating more. And the question was very simply, if a guy, we know he's supposed to make a bracha before he started eating. That we know. He started eating without a bracha. Do we say once he started eating without a bracha, no longer does it make sense to make a bracha at all? We know what we do. We know, of course, if someone started eating without a bracha, he makes a bracha when he goes vayitum. We actually said they're on top of them, and they move the food to the side of his mouth. We've had this idea. But the shiloh to Rav Chisda was posed, if someone started eating and already swallowed, and he's already enjoying the food and the drink without making a bracha, is it too late? Did he blow his option? And this food, this eating, he lost the opportunity to make a bracha, or no? You don't have to make a bracha. It's not like the idea, almost like related to Ovilas Yasin. When it comes to mitzvahs, you have to make a bracha before you do the mitzvah. Once you start doing the mitzvah already, the bracha is too late. You're supposed to make it before. So maybe if eating too, once they start eating, it's too late. That was the shaila. And the response, now the response is not as geshmak, according to this version, but the response was, a person who's eating garlic. He ate garlic already. And he's going to eat more garlic. Should he not make a bracha when he eats more garlic? Of course he should. Why not? He's enjoying more garlic. It's giving a funny expression that his breath smells, because that's what happens with garlic. But it's not a negative. It's just saying, when a person's going to eat more, of course he makes a bracha. Why should he benefit more from this world without a bracha? Of course he makes a new bracha. So it was saying the answer is, and it was a little bit of a vague or cryptic way of saying it, the answer of Chisda was saying was, a person should, yes, make a bracha as long as he's eating more. That's the conversation according to Marsha. Says the Gemara now, and this fits very well, Ravina says, not only do you make a bracha if you continue to eat, even if you're not continuing to eat, you can still make a bracha. That is how the Marsha learns the Shakar V'tayah. So now it fits very well. It fits better with Ravina. Ravina came to add a knach onto Zes Gemara. You're telling me that if you ate without a bracha, but you're still eating, you can make a bracha. I want to take it a step further and say, even if you're not still eating, you can make a bracha. Why? First of all, based on Rav Chisda's idea that the bracha doesn't have to be ultimately before you start eating. You see, even in the middle, it's okay. Take that and take this next line as well. Says the Gemara, Amar Ravina, Of Hilkach, based on Rav Chisda, that the bracha need not be before eating, I'll tell you a step further. Afilu Gamers does say Yachsev, even a person finishes a meal, he can make a bracha. The Tanya, Tava Va'ala Amar Bel Yasai, Baruch Hashem Kisham says Venu Al Tfila. When a person goes to mikvah, he says on the way out, when he gets up, he says, Hashem Kisham says Venu Al Tfila. So you see, you make a bracha on Tfila when? After the Tfila. Normally, by mitzvah, you make a bracha before. But you find the concept exists to make a bracha after. So to hear, once you're telling me the bracha before is not ma'akev, of course, you're supposed to make a bracha before. But you tell me if you didn't make a bracha before, you can make a bracha in the middle. That was Rav Chisda's memra. Says Rav, I'll take a step further, and I'll learn from Tfila and say that even if I finished eating, I can make a bracha afterwards. So it actually comes out, like we said before, exactly opposite the way Rashi was learning the Gemara, that we were saying that you can make a bracha after the bracha of Atala. According to this, Ravina's come to say, based on Rav Chisda, you could make a bracha afterwards. The Gemara of the Maaseh deflects Rav Chisda. What does the Gemara say? Says the Gemara, the Lahi, but it's not a good comparison. Why? Hasam Mekara Gavra Lechazi. Hacha Mekara Gavra Lechazi. What are you comparing? By going to the mikvah, before he went to the mikvah, he can't make a bracha. You know why? He's not fit. He's Tamei before he goes to the mikvah. He's fit to make the bracha only when he gets out of the mikvah. However, Hacha Avlacha. Over here, I'll tell you, no, that the guy was fit, and since he blew it, he didn't make a bracha. Maybe once he blew it, and therefore, don't bring me a proof from mikvah to our case. What does it mean the guy was lechazi? This is bothered. Since when could a tummy person not make a bracha? A tummy person can make a bracha because his tummy is lechazi. So Rashi actually addresses it. Rashi already says that he's the case is the guy's going to mikvah, let's say for Tfilas Ezra, taking Ezra for Balkari. We know Balkari can't learn Torah. And since the Kabbalah can't learn, perhaps he can't say Hashem saying he can't make a bracha either. So therefore he was like chazi for the bracha before, and therefore makes the bracha after. That's how Rashi learns. Taisus quotes Rashi. Taisus says, but he doesn't like that. Lamaya said, we don't find that you can't make a bracha when you're tummy, and therefore Taisus told a very specific case. It's based on a very specific case. We're talking about all cases of mikvah, but it's based on a specific case. Which specific case? A ger. A ger before he's megayer is a guy. A guy machlis can bracha. So a guy doesn't make a bracha. So he's a guy. What does he do? He goes to the mikvah. Nach the mikvah makes a bracha on the mikvah because now he's a yid. Now he can make the bracha. Says, and therefore, whenever it comes to mikvah tefillas, we say leplug. Major chiddush day says. Now, it's not just, but not just, he's not saying the case of the Gemara is hachmai skinah by a ger. We're talking about any tefillah. Because by a ger, the time to make a bracha is after going to the mikvah. All times that people go to a mikvah, you know, we make a bracha after the mikvah. Once we establish a ger, other cases, you could have made it while you tummy. That's fine. You don't make a bracha while you tummy. But because by a ger, the bracha is specifically made after going to the mikvah, so to all cases, the bracha is going to be made after a person goes to the mikvah. It's like a din of a loy plug. Very interesting idea from Tosfos. Now, this idea, Tosfos says, also is behind Netilas Yadayim. Right? A person goes to the washroom. You don't make a bracha al Netilas Yadayim before you wash your hands. You wash your hands, always. Wash your hands for bread. Wash your hands when we come out in the morning. Wash your hands when we come out of the washroom. You don't always make al Netilas Yadayim when you wash your hands out of the washroom. Let's say you're about to eat bread. You wash your hands, and then you lift up your hands, and then we make the bracha. What do you mean? All mitzvahs always make. You make the bracha before you do the mitzvah. So before you wash hands, you make the bracha. So you know where it comes from? It comes from this idea of mikvah, of tefillah. It's been established a late plug all the way from Ger. From Ger, we say all tefillahs, you make a bracha after the tefillah, not before, as opposed to other mitzvahs. And so too, by Netilas Yadayim, that's how you make a bracha after and not before. Very interesting, fascinating Tosfos. Based on this, it's actually, I'm just a little bit getting off topic, but this, a lot of this is almost, I would call it borderline agadza. So this is going to be more of our lumbness for the day. The Drisha's mother had a few chedushim that she wanted to put forth. One of them was, very gishmak and shakavataya. We know about hadlakas neiros. When does a woman make a bracha? She lights the candles first, covers her eyes, and then makes a bracha. Right? Covers up, makes a bracha. What do you mean? I bless Yasin. You're supposed to make the bracha first, and then light the candles. Why don't we do that? Because the idea is once... Exactly, very good. Once she makes the bracha, accepting Shabbos. Once you accept Shabbos, you can't light the candles. So the problem is, except making the bracha is tantamount to accepting Shabbos. We don't want you to light candles after that. Therefore, light the candles first, then make the bracha. Says the Rishon's mother, great. That's only by Shabbos. What about Hadlakas Neiros by Yom Tov? Hadlakas Neiros by Yom Tov, you're allowed to light candles in Yom Tov. If you can't start a new fire, but you can take an existing fire and light the candles in Yom Tov. New. So by Yom Tov, we should switch up the minig. We shouldn't light the candles, cover our eyes, and make the bracha. We should make the bracha, and then light the candles. Chayrutz Kataina says, this is Risha's mother, Risha's mother's Taina, says the Magen Avram, based on our Taisa, not a Taina. Just like we find by Tefillah, you always make a bracha after the Tefillah, based on Ger, because of a late plug. And it goes, extends even to the Tisa Dayim, that we make the bracha after washing our hands. And maybe there is also this element of course you can make a bracha when you tell me, but why not wait till you tar? But the baseline Taisa clearly is, not because of Tema, but it's because of the late plug from Ger. So too, Hadlakas Neiros. Hadlakas Neiros all year round. You have to do Hadlakas Neiros. First you light the candles, then you make the brachos, otherwise you accept the Shabbos. So you're right on Yom Tov. You don't have that issue. But light plug, apply the same light plug. Says Magen Avraham, based on our Tosfos, we have an answer to the Drishan mother, who's really more of a question. She held that's what you're supposed to do. On Yom Tov, you should make the bracha. You should make the bracha first, and which is not seemingly the Minhag Olam. So the Magen Avraham deflects and says, no. Based on our Tosfos, you can't light first. Why? Even though Yom Tov makes sense, because the rest of the year you don't light first on Shabbos, and once you light first on Shabbos, we say light plug, and Yom Tov should be the same thing. Comes along the night of Yehuda and says, no, the Drishan mother was right. You can't make a comparison. Why? Because by mikvah and tefillah, it's the same thing. It's the same bracha. Al tefillah, or al tisadayim. We're talking about one bracha. One bracha, we say light plug. Even though once it feels ger, and once it feels bakeri, and once some other tumah, we make a light plug. Over here, the bracha on Shabbos is v'hadlik ner Shabbos. What's the bracha on Yom Tov? Ner Shabbos Yom Tov. It's a different bracha. It's a very similar idea, but it's a different bracha. It says in the Yibuda, I don't think you make a light plug. You don't have to make it. You're not bound to a light plug. By Shabbos, you always have to light first. By Yom Tov, it's a different bracha, similar idea, halakas neiros, but since it's a different, you can obviously understand where the Magen Avraham is coming from. He held lighting candles, just because one Shabbos, one Yom Tov, that's called light plug. But the Yom Tov defends the mother of the Drisha, says, no, there would be logic. This is not a good enough answer to her question. Not that necessarily the Yom Tov is saying that we should switch the psak and make a bracha and light the candles after we make a bracha Yom Tov. He's just saying the deflection of the Magen Avraham based on Tosfos is not a raya, because in Tosfos is one bracha, one and the same. A late pluk can be made across the board by all tefillos because of that one bracha. Whereas by Hadlakas Neiros, with two different brachas, one Shabbos, one Yom Tov, therefore you don't necessarily have a proof from there to here. Very interesting Shaka B'Tayyip, all based on this top little Tosfos over here in Daf and Aleph. Okay. Sorry? Light first. Also light first, yeah. We do the same across the board. If Rishon's mother was saying, and the Chorin logic, especially with the night of Yehuda, the answer, she wasn't off, but she was saying it should make sense to go the other way. It could be she's naive that way herself, even. But the Magen Avraham's deflection and our Hanhaga is that we do the same as by Shabbos. Yes, and probably the reason they do that is because you want to try to get some of this Evel HaSiyasin. It's a very good point. That's when you say many people, it's Bur Lalacha. People hold their hands up. And they make the bracha. They hold their hands up purposely because you want the water to not to. You don't want water that went up above the wrist to fall back down on the hands, right? So you hold your hands up so it goes that way. Fine, but the point is, why are you doing that? Because you're making the bracha while your hands are still wet. You're purposely making the bracha before you dry your hands. And the chiddush to your point, exactly. You're still attaining some level of you make the bracha while your hands are wet, not completely post the wash, so to speak. Okay, so that's my writer. Tanaraban. It's great, it's true. You're right. It's pargus. This is not asparagus. Asparagus, yafalev tevlam. Asparagus is some sort of drink that was made from a beer or undiluted beer or undiluted wine, and they mixed in some other ingredients. But those, the main ingredients was undiluted beer or wine, and I'm going to have a whole long discussion now about this asparagus. Asparagus, yafalev, is good for the heart, and it's good for the eyes, and certainly it's good for the intestines. And one who's accustomed to drinking regularly, yafalev chalgufay, it's good for his entire body. But, like everything in life, if you drink too much of a good thing, and one gets drunk from it, it's bad for his whole body. For that, you tell me it's good for the heart. Anything which is good for the heart typically connotes what? Wine. It must be talking about wine. But then you said, it's certainly good for the intestines, which seems pretty clear. You're saying in the same breath, so it's good for the heart and good for the intestines. Must be wine is good for the intestines. But we have a problem. We learned, lilat yafa, lilat is an abbreviation for three things. Lamed is lave, ayin is eye, and tes is tchoil, which is the spleen. Lilat yafa, this asparagus from wine, is good for the heart, good for the eyes, good for the spleen. So far, that's good. Here's the problem. Lirumat kasha, but lirumat means for the reish is reish, the head. Mem is meayim, the stomach. That's the part that we said is good for it. Now here we're saying it's no good. And tuf means tachtonius, means for hemorrhoids. Lirumat kasha, it's bad. So you're telling me that the wine, which we're saying is good for the heart, and it's good for the intestines, koshkin meayim, but we learned elsewhere that it's tiger good for the heart, but it's not good for the meayim, it's not good for the stomach, says the Gemara Kisa Nahi. Where was that braisa taught? Yushin. Our bryce, we said it's good both for the heart and for the stomach, intestines. That's old aged wine. Aged wine is good across the board. It's good for both the heart and for the stomach. Whereas the second bryce is talking about not aged wine, that's good for the heart, but it's not good for the stomach. That's the market. Now, like we learned in the Mishnah, a person makes a pledge, it's talking about in the halachas in the Dharm, Dav Samach Vav. He makes a nether. Kainim is like a lashon of carbon. He makes the nether should be ushered like a carbon. This wine that I should taste. And he explains the first explained that we're talking about a guy apparently was suffering illnesses when he used to drink wine, and he couldn't control himself, and he used to make him ill. So he wanted to get himself in order and stop drinking wine and make himself ill. So he says, he explains why. Because the wine is bad for my intestines. And therefore, he's making another guy drink wine. He doesn't want it to bother him. They said to him, sir, who live in Amayim. By the way, you should know that old wine is okay for your stomach. So if that's your issue, you should know old wine is good for your stomach. Vishaskin, he was quiet. Halacha is asa b'chadish. This is gear, so we have. We're going to speak out different gears in a second. So the simple halacha is, he's taka asa a new wine, which is bad for the stomach. That was the nadir he made. But he's mutter and miyushin. The merge is speaking out the point that miyushin, the wine, old wine, is okay for the intestines, even though new wine is bad for the intestines. But la halacha in the durim, since he made his nadir and clearly explained the reason is because it's bad for my stomach, once he explained to him that this such wine, namely old wine, is not bad for the stomach, it wasn't included in his nadir. But we see Shmamina at our point. We see Shmamina that what? That old wine is okay for the stomach and new wine is bad. That's what it means when we say that the wine is good for the lave and good for the stomach. It's talking about old wine. Wine that's good for the lave and bad for the stomach is talking about new wine. One other girsa in this Gemara, our girsa again, is what kind of makes sense logically. Asabacha, this is also in the new wine because that's still bad for the stomach. That was his pledge. Mutter b'mishin, he's mutter in the old wine. Some of them first, some of them shenim. Is the guy, and other guy's Achron, but we give him a status like a Rishon. The Gaya Sagra, he takes out these words of Asr b'chadash. He just says, it's mutter. And his idea is, based on, because the sukkis of the Nadarm, in those Gemaras, I think it's in the Samachs, the sukkis of the Nadarm discuss, when a person makes a neder, and part of the neder is batal because it doesn't work, is the rest of the neder is still in force, or once part of that's a batal, the whole neder is batal. And the sukkis over there discuss the idea that once part of it's batal, the rest should be batal, and therefore says the guy, the halacha of it would be, he made a neder not to drink wine because wine's bad for you. They told him there's a wine that's good for you. Once the wine's good for you, he doesn't have to make nothing against wine anymore. He could just focus on drinking the wine that's okay for you, that's good for you. And therefore the whole neder is off. Again, Agur says the neder on new wine still in effect, still usher. Old wine, which doesn't is not detrimental, the neder didn't take effect. But according to the Gain's Girsa, it's like a neder shabat hutta mixas hutta kula, a neder that probably became mutter the holding of his mutter, and therefore it's mutter in both new and old wine. Okay. Tanraban. Shishit Rangan, we're gonna focus a little bit on this asparagus. By the way, some of the fresh explain, how on earth is this coming to our sugya? We're talking about benching, we're talking about not throwing bread. So we spoke yesterday, we had a braisa towards the end of yesterday's daf. Four things were said about bread. About not throwing it, not carrying a cup of wine over it, not putting raw meat near it, because I can make it a little bit schmutzig, and not putting a plate on top of it. We had that four things. So because of the braisa says four things are said by bread, we got into this other braisa that says six things that are said by asparagus. That's what we're saying right now. And therefore we gave akdama about this asparagus before we got into this numbered amount of things that are said about a food. That's the relationship, that's why it comes into our Gemara. Obviously it's a Gemara that was supposed to be in Shas somewhere, and therefore it's placed over here, just in relationship to the four things said about bread, six things said about asparagus, which is our Gemara. Tanabon. Shishit Rav Nami asparagus, six things said about asparagus, ain shayisun ayisun elikashu chayim umale. You can only drink it when it's made with chay, undiluted wine, and the cup is full. It's supposed to be drunk when the cup is basically, you're supposed to make sure you have a full dose when you drink it. Mekabel b'yamin, you take it, you accept it with your right hand, and you drink it with your left hand. You don't speak after drinking it, and you don't interrupt while drinking it. And after you drink it, you don't return the cup back to only to the. This seems to be more like a shade of demonic issues. We'll see momentarily. It's pretty clear. And Machzina said, "Elami, just like you only return the cup specifically to the person who gave it to you. Virak achrav, virik, virak achrav. And after one drinks, he should spit afterwards. And b'minay. And one could only add to it, supplement it with its own type. You don't add other foreign items into asparagus. Only the foods that are related to the ingredients of asparagus should be added to asparagus. Vatanya, ain't sechus of pas. We went elsewhere. You only supplement it with pas, with bread. Like Asha, but Chaim Rabbi Shechur, it depends. I'm going to say the answer a few times, a few questions coming up right now. And there's a difference between we spoke and we started. Asparagus can be made with wine. And asparagus can be made with bread. When asparagus is made with wine, that's when you can eat, I'm sorry, wine or with beer. When asparagus is made with wine, that's when you can supplement it with bread. When it's made with shikhra, when it's made with beer, then that's talking about a case where you can only supplement it with its own type ingredients that are related to it. You can't supplement it with something like bread. Another question with the same answer, Tani Chad, Lalat, Yafa. We said it once in Braisa. One Braisa said that Lalat, we said Lave, Ayin, Tchel, the heart, the eye, the spleen, this asparagus is good for it. The Ramat Kasha, whereas for the Reish, the head, the Me'ayim, Mem is Me'ayim, and the Tuf is the Tachtonius, the hemorrhoids, it's bad for it. However, Tanidach, the Ramat Yafa, Lat Kasha, we have an exactly opposite Braisa. That's good for the Ramat and bad for the Lat, like Kasha again. Habad the Chamra, when we said it's good for the Lat and bad for the Ramat, the Braisa made before, it's talking about wine. Habad the Shikha, when it's made from beer, it's exactly opposite. Tanichad, another Braisa. Ruk Akhrav, like a person who spits after this asparagus will be harmed. And we learned another b'risa. If you don't spit, mamish, exactly opposite. You should spit according to one b'risa, according to another b'risa. You should not spit. What's the answer again? You know it. Likasha, habit the chamra, habit the shikra. When we said that it's harmful to spit after asparagus, the way they explain it, that's talked about by wine. When we say it's good to spit after asparagus, you're supposed to, that's something that's made from beer. Amar Vashi, hashtam leirakach achvleka. Now that you told me that if you drink asparagus and don't spit afterwards, it's damaging, it's harmful. So we know this. Typically, a person has to behave a certain way in front of a king, and spitting is not becoming in front of a king. It's not a way to behave. However, says the Gemara, even in front of a king, that's the norm. The normal way to drink this asparagus is to spit afterwards, because otherwise it's dangerous. It's understood you're not doing it as a disrespect to the king. It's part of the normal way of eating this, and therefore one can spit even in front of a king after eating asparagus, because that is the normal way of doing it. It will not be considered an affront to the king. I'm Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Not the first time we had this Pesachta. We have more than once. The famous Gemara we had with him early in this Pesachta, what? L'fayv l'fnim. When he went l'fayv l'fnim, Kosh Baruch Hu said to him, Yishmol ben Elisha, Parcheni, give me a bracha, right? Give me a bracha, and he gave a bracha, Kosh Baruch Hu shav rachmanis, on yich p'shu rachmeches kaskel, rachmanis, she'elweh is kaskel, back in Avches. We had early in this Pesachta. Okay, I'm Yishmol ben Elisha. Yishmol ben Elisha was the Kohen Gadol. He said three things told me surreal upon him. So we know Mishpom Elisha, at the moment we quoted before, one of the time of Kippur, he also went up to the heights. He said Sheshem Hashem, and he went up to the heights. I think there was some Besiludim, right? He was one of the Sheshem Hashem, he said him Kippur. And he went up to the heights and he heard what's going on with Chayar Pargid by the Sura Gamalchus. He heard what's going on, right? So one of the things, there's another story that gets to happen, presume it either at the same time or a different time. Shleish Dvarim Sachli surreal Sarapanim. Three things are told to me by Sriel Sarapanim, that side that's all the way in the insides in Shemayim. Al titach lucha b'shachas b'yad ha-shamash v'tilbash. Don't take your shirt in the morning from your shamash, from your butler. Don't take the shirt in the morning from the butler. I'm sure everyone has this issue, that the butler is ready to put out the clothing for you. And we're saying, don't do that. Take the shirt yourself in the morning. Al titach yadcha mishalai nata yadav. Don't have your hands washed by someone who hasn't washed his own hands. Al tafsa asparagus al mishadasla. This one, the one that we just relate to our sugya. Don't give back the cup of asparagus after you drink it, except to the person who gave it to you. That's who you give the cup to. Why? Mnesha. Tachsvis, which is a type of group of Shadim, Va'amila, some say, Istalganes, Shamach Chavala, or the Salganes, which is also a group of Malachim, Malachi Chavala, Malachim that do Chavala, they do affliction. Mitzapel and Adam, they wait for a person to say, Emesay Yavi Adam, Lidei Echa Midvar Malalu Vilachid. When will a person come to these three things? Having someone else pass him the clothing in the morning, having someone else wash their hands, whose hands themselves weren't washed, or passing back the cup of asparagus to a new person? When will this take place? And we'll be able to have a shlita over these people, able to grab them. Again, what the connection is, I have no idea, but these are things that have to be concerned about by the Shadim or the Malachi Chavala. And again, the reason why it comes about asparagus is because asparagus returning it to the person who gave you the cup was said as one of the things, one of the huggas that's supposed to be asparagus, and therefore this Gemara relates to it because it talks about the danger of Shadim or Malcha Chavala when one does not do that. I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi. Malcha Mavis told me three things. Al Tita, it's a good source to get advice from. You want to know how to protect yourself, you get the advice from the Malcha Mavis. Al Tita, Chalukha Shachris Miat Shamish Vatilbash. Again, don't take your clothing in the morning from the Shamish, take the clothing off the hanger yourself. Don't have your hands washed by someone who didn't wash his own hands. Here's a new one. And don't stand in front of the women when they're turning from a funeral. When the women are gathered together and they're turning from a funeral, says the Malach Mavis, I hang out there and I got an open sword. I dance over there. I dance in front of them and my sword is in my hand. Very interesting. It doesn't seem like the women there are more common to get killed. Doesn't mean that happens, I guess, but that's a place where the Malach Mavis has the power to hang out. And if a male goes there, I'm not saying this from a fact. I don't say that the males are more dangerous than the females, but it seems like females have no choice. They're there, and the Malach Mavis is there. There's no protection. We're telling the males, don't go there because it's going to be dangerous to you. Maybe it's specifically dangerous for the males to be there. V'yesh li rishus l'chabal, I have permission to harm whoever I've been to. Some want to say that's the idea. We say that some of the Hanaga, that women don't come to basic verse. They go to the vice, go to the basic verse. We know this idea that pregnant women don't come to basic verse. Sorry, but some of the Hanaga, that even... No, I'm pregnant. Well, women don't come to basic verse. This could be an idea because the Malach Mavis hangs out by the women after the funeral. Then they don't be there. We don't want the Malach Mavis hanging out there. If the person is walking down the street and all of a sudden a group of women coming back from a basic verse are approaching him. Now he's nervous. He's got the Malach Mavis coming nearby. What should he do? Lynch of Minduch to Abba Amos, he should jump 4 amos from his place. Ikanar Lavre, if there's a river there, he should cross it. Ikanar Chachrin, if there's another road, Lazelba, go on the other road. Vikagud the Lake Achreira, if there's a wall there, stand behind the wall till it will pass. Basically, try to find either 4 amos distance, that's the first thing he does. Try to get a river in between him, try to get a wall in between him, try to take a different path. Whatever he can do to separate himself from these women, Vilai, if none of these options are available, Turn his face away and say, and Hashem said to the Satan, Hashem will, Yigar will like denounce you, the Satan. Keep repeating that pasuk until the woman, the group of women, pass him. Ten things were said. Now that we get back to kind of our topic of Kaisha Bracha, benching, we're off asparagus, we're back to Kaisha of benching. 10 things were said about Kaisha Bracha. Number one, and we're ultimately going to say that 4 of them kind of stick. But number one, Tanadacha, you need to wash it. Ushtifa, and each shtifa. Taste points out this, talking about when it's dirty. If it's a fully clean, perfectly clean cup, you don't have to wash it, and you don't have to wash it, but clean it. But when it's dirty, or it's not fully clean, that's when you do Hadacha and shtifa. What's Hadacha and shtifa? What's these 2 things? Hadacha and shtifa. One's on the inside, and one is Mabachutz on the outside. That's why it's just, they're both cleaning it, but one's inside, it's cleaning inside out. That's 2. Chai, has to be drinking chai. You have to drink it while it's chai. Chai typically means undiluted. Everyone should jump out of the seats. We just had yesterday a discussion, what bracha do you make on wine that's chai? When Rav Elazar says, you cannot make Barbe Guffin, you make very good Barbe Eats because it's not regular wine yet. And so you dilute it. The Chum say, no, you can make Barbe Guffin. But everyone agrees when it comes to Kaisha Bracha, you gotta dilute it. Why you need wine minimum? You need yain minimum ofcher. Mitzvah to make wine minimum a bracha wine minimum ofcher. So everyone agrees, whether it's Barbe Guffin or not, but it's undiluted, you don't make a Kaisha Bracha, chai and chai. What does this Bible say? Item number 3. What are you supposed to use for wine, for a bracha, for a kesha bracha? You use yayin chai. What's going on over here? It's a clear stira to yesterday's Gemara. They give a few answers. One answer is, when you put it into the cup, it should be chai. You know, you dilute it 3-1. When do you do dilution? In the cup. Put your 1 part wine, then put your 3 parts water, dilute it in the cup. Don't dilute it earlier. That is one of the answers that's given. Another answer given is that it should be taken fresh from it should be just in general. Chayav doesn't mean undiluted. Chay means fresh. It should be fresh wine as opposed to non, you know, wine that's not fresh anymore. But of course it should be diluted. That's another answer. Another answer given is, we're not talking about the, well, before we get to that last answer, another answer given is, we're talking about when it's taken out of the barrel. We meant that it should be taken directly from the barrel, but undiluted. I mean, similar to what we said before, but and diluted only afterwards, but not diluted before it gets to your cup. That's really kind of the first explanation we gave. The last explanation, we're not talking about the wine, we're talking about the cup. The cup should be a complete cup. It should be a cup that's not broken, not chipped. Chai doesn't mean the wine, undiluted, untouched. The wine, of course, has to be diluted. The cup should be a cup that's shalim. A cup should be a cup that's not damaged and not chipped. The Ramesha Feinstein, this is a good halacha l'maisa. Ramesha Feinstein has a discussion about using, for a kesha bracha, disposable cups. They actually sell these days, these silver plastic cups, right? Very convenient for simchas or for traveling. These silver, but these, not really silver, it's plastic. It's plastic, it looks like silver, very nice cups. Are you allowed to use these chapami cups for wine? So this is one issue. Taisa says that it shouldn't be able to use it because it's a chapami is worse than a cup that's like, that's dented or a little bit nicked, a little bit damaged. It's worse. If you can't use a cup that's nicked, I certainly should be able to use a cup that's chapami, number one. Number two, we find elsewhere, there's a member in the Gemara, that's something of vegetables. Carve out from a vegetable, and pour wine in it, use it for a kais, and he says you can't do it because it doesn't last. So you see something doesn't last, you can't use it for a kais. So he says, the first you use a kais. The first will right away jump on Ramesha, and Ramesha himself agrees that by the case of the vegetable, it mamish doesn't last. It's going to disintegrate. If you leave the wine in too long, it's just going to collapse and crumble. Our chapami cups, they could last. We happen to be, we'll call it, very spoiled, wealthy. These cups are very cheap, and we're able to make things very cheap today, and we're able to dispose of it because we don't need it. But you technically use it many times over. So the raya from the case of vegetable chai is not a raya, and even the case of shalim, they want to say. Even the case, our alecha, we're calling, again, the word chai means that the cup should be shalim, that wouldn't be a reason not to use the chatfami cup, perhaps. They want to argue Ramesh, because again, a cup that's damaged, there's something wrong with it. Our cups, even if they're what we consider disposable, you can use them usually many, many times over. And therefore, just because we choose to dispose of them, that doesn't take away from the fact that it still has a chashivas, and therefore other places can disagree and say, you could use a disposable cup, but Ramesh himself is maskim. In a case we have no choice, you can rely and use a disposable cup. He just held a chachila, one should not be using a disposable cup because he has these concerns. L'maisiyos, b'dievin, if that's all a person has available, one can use it when he has no alternative. Okay. Din number 4. Again, the first to be dinim by Kesher Baruch is, the first 2 are really the same, Tanadacha and Shtifa, which is washing inside out. Chai has to be Chai, which means either not, it goes into the cup when it's still not diluted, then you dilute it, or we'll skip to the second shot, or it goes where we're talking about the cup itself should be intact. Okay. Malay should be full. Eater, it should be crowned. We'll see what the Gemara will explain how you crown it. V'ituf, it should be covered. Ne'lev v'sheyadav, he takes it with both, he accepts it with both hands, based on a pasuk, suyidechim gaydash, v'naisav yibin, he then moves it over to his right hand when he makes the brachamag, biyam in a kaka tefach, and he lifts off the ground the tefach, as someone when he's reclining on the floor and making a brach, he lifts off the ground tefach. When we make kiddush at tables, he's supposed to pick up the cup and lift the cup off the table. A tefach. A tefach is not that much. Tefach is a hand, right, off the table, 3-4 inches. V'naisav yibin, he keeps his eyes focused throughout the bracha. Let's say we're talking about by benching. He keeps his eyes focused on the kais throughout the benching on the birchas hamazon. Some say af mishagrei b'matan l'anshe beisei, and some say he also sends it as a matana to anshe beisei. Anshe beisei is a fancy way of saying his wife. He gives his wife to give her from the kais shabracha. Amar becha anu in lanu. We don't have all 10 of these things. El arbavad. We only have 4 of these things. Hadach shtifa. So 2 of them washing and rinsing, which is inside out. Number 3 is chai, which again either means the being undiluted when it gets to the cup, and then you dilute it, or it means having a full cup shalim. And the last one is umbali full. Tana, we learned the rice hadachim b'fnim, shtifim b'chutz. Hadachas on the inside, shtifim on the outside. Amar becha kol bracha kais malei. Whoever makes a bracha kais malei, this is why you see people at makbir to fill up their cup. Whoever makes a bracha kais malei, nicely nachla be mitzrayim. We give him an inheritance without boundaries. He gets a huge inheritance. Shemar umbali birchas Hashem yam v'darim yirasha. Our base bechinim amar zeichel v'nechel shtei lamim. He gets zeichel to a world. Eilam habzev eilam haba. A beautiful bracha for one who makes al kais yayin. Malay, kivirchas Hashem. You make your bracha on kais yayin malay. Here's where it comes from. Iter, Rav Yehuda ma'atrei b'tamidim. Rav Yehuda used to crown it by surrounding tamidim around him. When he made a bracha, birchas hamazon, he surrounded tamidim around him, not around him, around the cup. He's making a bracha on. He made a circle of tamidim around him. That was like a crown. The tamidim formed a crown, and that was a crown for the bracha. Obviously, it's only option when you have people or tamidim around you. Rav Chizda Matli, Rav Chizda would surround it. This is actually something that became very popular in the past 50-20 years. He would surround it with small cases. He would surround it with, I didn't say small, with other cases. We know the new, it's not so new anymore, it's about 20 years old already. It's a fancy way to distribute the Kiddush wine. It's have these nice little goblets, these nice little cups to pour Kiddush wine into, to disperse to the people. So that would one thing you'd accomplish, if you have the ones that you have a circle around it, and you have the cup in the middle, so you're accomplishing this idea of surrounding it with these other cups. Okay. These other cups actually had wine in them, by the way. We don't always put wine in them first. Sometimes we only put wine after, but it was surrounded with cups that had wine in it. Okay. Amar Rav Chanan. Uvechai. And again, you're doing it with, you're surrounding it with cups of undiluted wine. And when do you do it? Again, we're talking about, I was talking about Kiddush, we're talking about by benching for the most part. So when are you doing it? We're saying Birchas Haaretz. The question of this means that you only start by Birchas Haaretz because you're trying to point out the beauty of Birchas Haaretz. That's when you do it. Others want to say it means till Birchas Haaretz. From the beginning of benching, till Birchas Haaretz is when it's important. From there, not. But again, the simple reading is you do it specifically, you start it, you crown the cup of benching by Birchas Haaretz. Itaf, what's itaf? What does it mean? Cover it? Or Papa, what do you mean cover? It means you cover yourself. This is the idea, by the way. Again, it depends if people are not to wear hat and jacket all year round anyway, but people who wear hat and jacket, they specifically put on for benching, and actually, it seems like this more makar for this than even by davening. By davening, it's poor halacha to have a double cover by davening too. But over here, you have a black and white Gemara saying, "Rav Papa is ati for Yosef, Rav Asi parasa drabeshe." Rav Asi put a sudar on his head. We're not talking about ati for the talus. We're not talking about davening. No talus over here. He used to put a covering, a cloak or something, put a jacket on, put on a covering on the head, and bench. We see this concept of putting on a hat and jacket for benching. It's not just some anhaga of the Bnei Yeshivas. Well, the Bnei Yeshivas probably got it from here. But it's not just some more yeshivish anhaga. It's the idea of putting on, again, not everyone necessarily wears hats, but if a person's derech is to wear a jacket, so you put on a jacket. If he wears a jacket when he gets formal, put on a jacket for benching. It seems very clear over here that was on Haga of giving a cover for benching. I always felt this, and let me just be clear, I'm not saying my actual on Haga fits with my feelings, but I've always felt that it was very interesting to me that Davin Shemar Esrei, again, this deraisa to David, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Machlokes Rambam, we pointed out on Shabbos, exactly when the obligation is, Shasara, every day. But the nusach, the fact that we daven 3 times a day with anshe kasegel masakin, the nusach tefila, and the seed to daven shachas mechamar, we had early mesechta, feels of a tikkun who is masakin. This idea of shachas mechamar is not deraisa. That's not deraisa. The idea of davening is deraisa. Benching is deraisa. Okay, when you eat only kazai, it's not deraisa, right? That's when we're then. But when we normally eat a full meal and we're full, benching is deraisa. It would make sense that if people are makbet to dress a certain way, whatever that way is, without going into the specifics. But if people are makbet to dress a certain way, when they daven, it would make sense that they should be all the more makbet by benching. I always had this thought, and you see that the Mark clearly is describing a kapeta to bench in a specific bakavtik way. Okay. Noilei b'shtei yadayim. A person takes a cup with both hands. My papa, my crow, what's the sort of taking the cup with both hands? So you take a Kaddish Baruch Hashem. Pasuk says, lift your hands up, lift your hands, plural up, and bless Hashem. You lift your hands up to accept the Kaddish. And if you'll notice, some people actually, I don't know where this cup, I'm sure it's related, the person doesn't pick up the Kaddish. In order to take the Kaddish with two hands, someone else has to pick it up for you. So another person takes it with two hands, lifts it up, and puts it into the person who's benching's two hands. And then what he does, by the way, is, says the Gemara, let's read it inside, nicely amen. He then moves the cup over to his right hand, Amar B'chim Rabba, Amar B'echiran, Rishenim Shalu, the early ones asked, small mash tzel amen. They asked the following shayla. You're right, you're supposed to be holding it in your right hand throughout benching. That's clear. You accept it with two hands, but you hold it in your right hand. What is halacha with regard to the left hand helping out the right hand? This is a discussion, whether it means mamish underneath the hand, helping it, or holding the cup itself. Sometimes people just do it just to balance it, they touch it. But what's the idea of the left hand helping the right hand? Is that okay or not? Amar Bashi, however, they had a shayla with it. They didn't have a clear answer. So, anan, abil chumra, we're going to go to chumra, and we're going to just keep it with the right hand and not have the left hand help out. Bottom Tyson, Amar Aleph, just quickly points out, when would this be relevant? Just hold it with the right hand, what's the big deal? The case is, let's say we have a very large cup, something that's a very heavy cup, and you need, for stability purposes, you want to use the left hand to stabilize it. Or, Taisa says, very interesting case, Taisa says, when you have benching, when Rish Chodesh Tevis, do your math, Rish Chodesh Tevis is Chanukah, that falls out on Rish Chodesh Tevis, I didn't say the end of it, fell on a Shabbos. It's like the longest benching of the year. You have Al Nisan, you have Yal V'Yavai, and you have Ritzei, and of course you have benching. It's a very long benching. Holding it, even that's a big cup, can get a little bit tiresome. And therefore, in that case, Yemen Taisa says, those are two classic cases, either heavy cup, or that case, would be a case, or by basis also by marriage, by nesuim, by shavrachas. Okay, those are cases we have very long benching. You may want to use the left hand to stabilize. But my sister is saying one should not do that because we have no source that it's okay to do that. Again, we're the second line of we are on Amud Beis, top, the second line now. I lift up the cup and I call it Hashem's name. But I say, you keep your eyes in it. You should have a hesachadas from benching and the first stick in from Brichas Hamazon. It's a way of keeping it focused on the cup and on the benching itself. He gives a sense to his wife as a matana. He wants his wife to have the blessing. He wants to be blessed also from drinking from this kashya bracha. Therefore, he passes his wife. Look at the story. A little bit of a heavy story. Ula came to Rav Nachman's house. Rav Nachman, remember, was married to Yalta. He's married into which family? Reish Galusa, very good. He's married to Reish Galusa, a very, very prestigious house. And she came from a chashava background. They break bread, they ate bread, they made Brichas Mazaina, they made Brichas Hamazon afterwards. Yavle Kisit Brichas Lev Nachman. So the Ula, who ate bread and gave from the cup of Bracha to Rav Nachman, the host. Amle Rav Nachman said, Nu, Lishna Mar Kisit Brichas Lealta. Let Mar send to my wife Yalta as well. So Ula said, "Nah, she doesn't need it." Hachem Rebbechon, ain't pribinish leishim esbarch la pribinish ish. The bracha that the woman's belly gets, which she gives her a bracha that her belly should be blessed, her children, whatever it may be, it gets the bracha from the fruits of her husband's belly. Shneimo berach pribinicha. It says berach pribinicha, your fruits of your belly. Pribinah leinemar. It doesn't say bitna, female. Ela pribinicha. So she gets bracha. Don't worry, she's getting bracha. How? Your husband through you. How you know the pribina of the woman only gets blessed with the pribina of the man? We say this by the way in Vitalcha, right? Berach pribinacha, pribina lenemar doesn't say pribina, eller pribinacha. Rather says pribinacha again. This is right. By the way, this is a pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, right in the second parsha. Adachi shama yalta. Yalta heard, she heard that Rav Nachman was asking for his wife to get some wine, and Ula was saying, yeah, she doesn't need, she gets from you. She was a little bit upset. Kama bizarra, the Lashon Gemara is, she stood up in anger, and she went to the wine storage room, and she smashed 400 barrels of wine. Rav Nachman said, do me a favor, can you just give her some wine? Pour her another cup, let's give her another cup, and shalach la, Kohai Nagva Dubhasi. And Ula said, oh, he did it. He sent another cup and he said, this is the whole barrel has a din of Kesha Bracha. I mean, even though I didn't give you the original cup, the whole barrel that we took wine from for the Kesha Bracha has a din of Kesha Bracha. And therefore, take this. She was not appeased. Shalchale, she sent back, Mima Dure Mili, from the peddlers come these just plain words, useless words, Misam Tuti Kalmi, and for old rags come lice. Meaning, you're trying to appease me with wine that was in the same barrel that the Kesha Bracha was, you already messed up, you didn't give me Kesha Bracha, it's too late, I'm not happy, done deal. The Mepharshim pointed out that what she was doing was, you have to know what this is going to be, was damaging 400 barrels of wine, it seems like a little extreme, it could be very good. Uri, we find often that 400 is a guzma, he's right, it's unless you find all the place, 400 is a number that's often used as a guzma, could be that's what it was over here. But more importantly, the Mepharshim pointed out that the idea was, she's trying to show, it's not the wine that he wants. If I cared so much about wine, I wouldn't go and destroy wine. right? Even though we once gave a shmuz in the past, and I think it was in the Chumash a couple weeks ago, about by the frogs, by the tzvardeya, that when people get angry, they do things that are exactly counter, exactly opposite what makes sense. So the fact that she got angry and did it, maybe, and it made no sense. She was angry, she didn't get wine, so she broke wine? Why did she throw wine? Okay, but they first take a different, they take a more positive malach, and they say on the contrary. Breaking the wine was her demonstration. I don't need the wine, I want the bracha. Why are you not sharing with me the bracha? She's upset, so she broke wine to show, I don't care about wine, I'll destroy more wine, I don't need wine. I want bracha. That was their way of showing that. Okay. Amar Vasi. Eim asichin al kaysha bracha. You don't speak out from the time that he takes the cup in his hand until he finishes birchas mazon. From Vasi. Eim vrechin al kaysha pranis. You don't make a birchas mazon on a cup of pranis. My kaysha pranis. What's a cup of pranis? Of punishment? Or rach meyitzak. Kaysheni, the second cup of the meal. Meaning we have a klal. It's really more psachim about not eating in pairs. Not taking zugeis. Pairs, eating zugeis could lead to different types of damage. Eating things in pairs, eating things in twos. And so the whole Gemara discusses in Pesachim. Why is it called Pesachim? Of course, because what do you have, Leil Pesach? Arba Kaisis. Arba Kaisis is pairs, two pairs of two. So that's all, I'll still give that fine. But the point is, we don't eat in pairs. So you don't make, let's say you have one cup of wine during the meal. And now your second cup is going to be Kaisha Bracha for benching. It comes out that your second cup, your Kaisha Bracha, is a pair. It's a second. We don't do that. You should make sure it should be your third cup or something. Tanami Idach. Tanya Mihachi, Hashes Kaflain Levarch, a person who's drinking in pairs, the second cup, should not make a bracha, Mishu Nemer, he kind of crashed like Kach Yisrael, Hailam Asakin. He's supposed to prepare yourself to go to Kash Baruchu for, to serve properly. That's not going to be prepared, having a Christ, which is not good for you. I'm Rabbi Vo, I'm Rabbi Sisa Tana, Ha'ichlam Mahalach, one who eats while walking, not necessarily something which is suggested, but the point of it is going to be whatever he's doing when he's eating, he should step up his concentration level, madrega, for benching. So if he's eichel malach, if he's walking and eating, mevarach mumin, he should make sure to pause, stand in one place when he makes a bracha. We had earlier mesach, what do we have this by? Dafi gimel by kriya shema. A person should stop in a spot even if he's standing. Right? We said according to Basili, you can say kriya shema sitting, standing, lying. But a person who's standing, who's walking, should stay in a spot till al nevavecha for the first three pesukim of kriya shema. He should stand in one spot because he has more kavana. So again, a person who's eating while walking, standing in one spot, and he should bench. But what if he was standing when he's eating? He wasn't walking, he was already standing still. New, step it up. Or sit down. He should sit down, step up the madrega, and he should sit down when he benches. If he was already eating, veseba. Now, you don't want to bench Beseba, that's not Bakavitik. So, what does it do? Sit up. Sit up, that's a Bakavitik way to bench, sitting up, not while reclining, leaning back. And the Lach Levi says, what should a person do? In all places, the best way to bench is to sit, whether he's walking, whether he's standing still, whether he's reclining, always sit and bench, sit down in a sitting position. You can focus better and bench as such. Let us start the next parak. This mission is going to have a whole list. The Gemara is going to explain many of them. But this Mishnah is going to have a whole list of machlekesin between Mesham and Basil by the Suda. We'll see the Mishnah and then we'll stop. We'll leave the Gemara for tomorrow. Let's see the Mishnah. The following are matters of argument between Mesham and Basil by a meal. First off, Mesham says, you mevarach on the Kiddush Yom. That's by Kiddush. You make, first of all, you mention the day. And then you make the bracha on the wine. Basil is what we do. Mevarach Yayin. First you make a bracha bar piagafen, then you speak out about the day. Not to be confused, because we also start off with a yom hashishi vaychulu. That's not part of the bracha. Then we say bar piagafen, then we make a bracha on the day. That's like we still make a bracha gafen for the day. There's a whole deeper discussion. Maybe we'll put it up later after the share. Hopefully Rabbi Zevin is a beautiful piece. It's a fundamental machlokes b'sham beisil on this yichil. Rabbi Chiel shared this with me. This is a piece from Rabbi Zevin. It's a much bigger machlokes b'sham beisil. How do we approach ruchnias and gashmas? Okay, we'll edit later. Mitzvah. B'sham ayimim neilin liyadayim. B'sham says first you wash the yadayim. Acham meizig the kais. You wash the yadayim, then you meizig the kais to drink it. B'sham let me know. Meizig the kais. First you dilute the cup. You pour the cup and dilute it. V'acham liyadayim, and then you wash your hands. You wash your hands for the bread. The hand washing is really, I mean, you used to wash hands also for fruit, but the hand washing is for bread. The question is, do you wash before Kiddush or only after Kiddush before bread? Beishamay says before Kiddush. Beisil says first you do Kiddush, then you wash hands for bread, which is again, of course, what we do. Beishamay mekrech mappa, you, after you wash your hands, you wipe your hands in a towel. Here's the machlekes. Manichal shulchan, you leave it on the table in order that when your hands get dirty during the meal, you can wipe your hands in that same towel. Beisil amir al hakeses. You don't put it on the table. You see grease. You need the towel there to wipe your hands when you get dirty during the meal, but you put it on the chair that he's reclining on. Beisham amir vachat nesabayis. You sweep the room and then achan leidayim, and then you wash your hands with mamachreinim. Is after the meal, you sweep clean the room, then you wash your hands with mamachreinim. Beisil amir leidayim. No, first you wash your hands with mamachreinim, vacham achan nesabayis, and only then afterwards do you sweep the room where the food was eaten. Do you sweep the room clean? Let's say you have a case where a person is eating a meal, and it's also, let's say he's benching, and he has to make Abdullah, right? So I'll show this time, he's benching and make Abdullah. So what do you do? You do Nair first, then Mazayn, the Birch of Mazayn, then Besamim, then Abdullah. Besamim, no. Nair first, Nair, then Besamim, then Mazayn, then you do the Birch of Mazayn after the Besamim, and then you do Abdullah last. Bishamayim, six machlaikis, Shabar, Bara, Mayer, Aish. The bracha of on fire is bara ma'ar ha'esh. On beisil ha'imrim, no, bayre ma'ir ha'esh, which is, of course, what we say. Eim v'rachim le'el ha'ner, v'le'el b'sam v'le'el v'chavim. Sorry. Eim v'rachim le'el ha'ner, v'le'el b'sam shel ha'vchavim. We don't make a bracha on the fire or on the spices of the v'chavim. V'le'el ha'ner, v'le'el b'sam shel mesim. No, we make a bracha on the fire or the b'sam of the dead. That was done. That was made for Mason. Nor that was made for Vajizar. And we also make a bracha on the Nair until you have benefit, some sort of benefit. That's why we look at our fingernails. We have some sort of benefit from the R. Misha achol v'shachav leiberich. A person who ate a meal, he forgot and didn't bench. So till when could he still bench? For first of all, before that, he has to go back to his place to bench. He can bench at the place where he remembered. He doesn't have to go back to the place where he ate. That's machlokes number one. But number two is ad masi yivarach. Till when could he bench? How far? Akdei says achol mas meiv until the food has become digested. Mara doesn't explain exactly what the shear is when the food becomes digested. Pashim say it's someone to say until he's hungry again for the next meal. Others will say 72 minutes till you walk 4 mil. Balam yai nachamazan. If wine came out after the meal, it means shem elokei sekeis. If it's only that cup of wine, b'sham remember v'rach alayin. You make a bracha on that wine, v'acham v'rach amazon, and then you make brachas amazon. B'sham remember v'rach amazon. First, make brachas amazon, v'acham v'rach alayin, and then you make a bracha on that wine. V'ayin amen achar Yisrael hamavarach. You answer amen after the bracha of Yisrael. V'ayin amen achar kusi mavarach. If you don't make an amen after the kusi, you make the bracha. Atshishem makal bracha kula. Unless you're in the entire bracha, we don't know what a kusi may have stuck in there. That's not proper. And therefore, you only make a bracha after Yisrael makes a bracha after, even though you heard part of it, by a kusi, you have to hear the entire bracha. Otherwise, you cannot say amen to a bracha because you don't know what you're really saying. I'm into. We'll pick up here tomorrow with the show.